The New Normal Show is proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. Hashtag Growing Gauteng Together.
Greetings and welcome to Life in the New Normal. The new normal is the life we have now adapted to 3 months plus after the pandemic hit this country, and life that we will be adapting for at least the next few months to come. It is now just over 3 weeks since schools reopened. Many parents were apprehensive, while some couldn't wait for schools to reopen. The decision to reopen was based on several criteria which were gleaned from studies abroad. It is well known that children infected with COVID-19 virus have a far milder illness and many of them have no symptoms at all. Also, importantly, they are poor transmitters of the virus either to themselves or to adults. In studies from many countries abroad, it was shown that classroom transmission of the virus is very low. And in fact, most children who do get infected pick up the infection from household transmission, in other words, from adults to children, or through non-school contacts. Nevertheless, the opening of schools has been done in a staggered, phasic way and with very strict protocols in place to prevent the transmission of the virus. Today, I have a very special guest, the director of the South African Board of Jewish Education, Rabbi Craig Kasef, who will tell us how the Jewish day schools have fared some 3 weeks into the reopening of schools. But before I officially welcome my guest, may I very briefly reintroduce myself. My name is Barry Shoup. I was the founder and former director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, the NICD, and I'm also Professor Emeritus of Virology at the University of Witwatersrand, where I served as the first professor and head of the department for a number of decades. It now gives me great pleasure to welcome my very distinguished guest, Rabbi Craig Kasef. Craig, please tell us a bit about yourself and also the South African Jewish Board of Education.
Morning, Barry, and morning to the listeners. Wonderful to be on the show with you. So I'm here in my role as the director of the South African Board of Jewish Education, and we have, as an organization, directly look after and control the King David schools on behalf of the community, and have represented all the Jewish schools over the years with departments such as government departments and others. And certainly through the process of this COVID period, there has been endless amounts of regulations and protocols, and I've tried to make sure that I'm keeping the schools up to date on that as each school makes their own decisions on the way forward.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Craig. Thanks. Just for our listeners, just to remind, please, if you want to contact me during the show, and really, please, we would really love to hear your views. Let us know, how are you feeling about the schools reopening? What are your views? How are your children or grandchildren or nephews or niece? How are they faring? You can contact me at SMS 34519, SMS 34519, or you can send me a telegram message on 061-895-1019, 061-895-1019, or you can email me on onair, one word, O-N-A-I-R, onair at chaifm.com. So please, do feedback your views on the various topics which we'll be discussing just now. Craig, just where are we at the current moment with which grades have gone back and which are planning for the future?
Barry, each school, as I said, would be very different. And even within the King David schools, where I would have a much more intimate knowledge, each of our schools has chosen a slightly different route. And the reason for this is that the regulations themselves call for a slow or a staggered return to ensure compliance to the hygiene and the protocol. So just to have a one-size-fits-all wouldn't work because of the size of the facilities of a school, the number of staff they have, the cleaning routines. The cleaning routines at school have changed dramatically to make sure that early in the morning, in between lessons, while the kids are on break, there's non-stop cleaning routines. And so the size and the physical distancing that has to be kept between students, and being able to split classes, use bigger venues, has meant that each school is going to be using, I can give you a sense, but each school is certainly going to be slightly different.
Yeah, no, I understand. Craig, we do have to have a short ad break. We'll come back just now. Thanks.
The New Normal Show is proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. Hashtag growing Gauteng together.
Craig, just to pick up where we left off, the kind of phasing you think in the reasonable future will still allow for adequate physical distancing.
Yes. So, Barry, for example, high school, there we started with grade 12s, as was permitted from the 1st of June, and we thought it was the correct decision. But by now in the two King David High Schools, grade 12 and grade 11 are back, and there's plenty distance or spacing for that. If we would, for example, have to bring in additional grades, that'll then start leading to having to stagger. And maybe to give you a sense and the listeners a sense, we did a survey with our parents as to how many would come back, how many students would come back with the comorbidities at home and students with pre-existing conditions that they wouldn't be able to come back. And we assumed about 75% would come back.
Yeah.
And so where we are now, our high schools between grade 12 and grade 11, sitting at about 80 to 90% of students are back at school, where we've got matriculants writing prelims. In some situations, we've got 100% back. Others are writing while being watched online as they write exams. Our primary schools, almost every grade has had an opportunity to be back, either for a number of days or in a staggered model. And there we've got an average of about 75% back. In some grades, it's as high as 90%.
Gosh.
And grade R, which is our youngest group we've brought back, there it ranges depending on the school, and then it seems to be on the area where the school is. It's anywhere ranging from 50 to 87% of the students back. But we are finding, even where it starts with fewer students and parents are maybe anxious, those numbers are slowly trickling back and increasing as more students come back into the school environment.
Gosh, those are gratifying figures. Do those figures actually surprise you? Did you expect to have those kind of percentages coming back?
As I said, we assumed around 75%, 77 to 75% would come back. When it was announced initially and we did a webinar, we thought we would have less. It's interesting also at the very young age group, at the youngest grade R, we thought we might have a higher intake in some circumstances just because it's of the school readiness and the difficulty sometimes to for parents who are going back to work. So we thought that number might be higher, but it is growing. And already in two of our grade R's, the percentage is over 85%.
No, that's interesting. And those who are not coming to school, of course, they are still carrying on with the electronic learning, online learning.
Yes, I think all the Jewish schools have had to maintain their hybrid model of face-to-face learning as well as remote teaching because certainly there's those with pre-existing conditions not able to come. And also we keep saying in our protocols, if someone's not feeling well, they should rather stay at home and go on the online learning because you don't want to compromise everyone else in the environment. So we've had to make sure that the online learning continues.
Yeah. I suppose it's too early, you know, just 3.5 weeks since we started. But do you have any kind of feeling from the hybrid model that you could compare the effectiveness of online versus face-to-face teaching? I mean, is online teaching very disadvantaged?
Well, this is a big discussion. At this point in time, the first thing we've done since the students have come back is settle them with protocols, carry on teaching, and then we've started with assessments and baselines in order to be able to see where students are. Some students are firstly, from the teaching point of view in the core subjects, we were no further behind where we would have been in a normal year, which is fantastic to see the ability of online. But that said, what we are anticipating is that many students will be academically at the place where we would have wanted them to be, while others will be behind. And that may not be purely due to online teaching, or maybe it's the online model or the remote model, being that it's very difficult to remain engaged at a distance. It's not necessarily there for everyone. Yeah. The home environment can impact it, the oversight, you know, the level of distraction at a home, the ability to, have you got enough computers in the house to be able to work? Laziness can set in. It's very difficult to maintain energy levels at home as compared to in-school teaching. So that's been our first thing. Even if we would have to go back to online for some reason, then we're quickly making sure we're doing all the baselines and benchmarking to know where every student is and where we need to intervene.
You know, it often comes up, COVID-19, as I said, in fact, in the title of the show, is changing our lives, living in the new normal. Do you think the online has really changed to some extent the way we're educating? And I suppose the kind of follow-on question, could there be a future role for electronic teaching as a supplementary educational aid? You know, like the kind of extra lessons kind of thing by electronic learning.
There's no question that has brought about substantial change. Yeah. Some of it very good and some of it that we're going to have to retain and improve on so that it becomes an add-on to the existing face-to-face model. So the elements that one loses with online or remote teaching is, of course, the community building, the immediate feedback, the sharing of ideas in the classroom setting and community building in those areas. But on the other hand, we've used this period to create change that normally would take many months or maybe years, has taken place in a very short span of time. Teachers have been incredible. The learning curve they've gone through and that trajectory of learning how to use online. And so there are so many lessons we've learned and we keep capturing them. And Angela Duckworth, who's done many studies in GRIT, so she did a survey with teachers around the world, and it's interesting how almost 62 or 63% of teachers were hoping that when we got back to the new normal around the world, they would have to be able to just put this in the cupboard and not have to go use it again. But we don't agree to that.
Yeah.
There are so many things we've learned and new skills for teachers to be able to help students from a distance and to be able to communicate with broader audiences that these will remain with us and will improve the teaching model.
Yeah. Craig, we'll take another short break, ad break, and we'll come back just now again.
The New Normal Show is proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. Hashtag Growing Gauteng Together.
Welcome back. I'm Barry Shoup. This is Life in the New Normal. We are talking about the reopening of schools during COVID-19. And my very special guest is Rabbi Craig Kasef, Director of the South African Jewish Board of Education. Craig, just carrying on where we left off before the ad break, it's kind of very interesting, I think very gratifying, that in this very short period of time, not only the children, but also, as you say, the teachers have been on a learning curve, and they've come to the plate very, very efficiently and very rapidly.
Yeah, Barry, we have to shout out for the teachers in the community. I mean, when one considers a school and, as I suppose, any environment, your most important, let's just use it for terminology, inverted commas, asset, are your people.
Yeah.
And schools spend so much effort on attracting, retaining, and investing in their staff. And at this time, it's really been gratifying to see that the quality of people that our schools have had across the community and in our schools have been such a caliber that they've been able to make that move, invest themselves. And I mean, you have many teachers that are in the class now in the morning and are Zoom teaching or Teams, whichever platform we're using at the different levels of the school. In the afternoon, they are available for one-on-ones with their students. Teachers are doing a tremendous, tremendous job in the community at this period of time.
That's amazing. That's very gratifying. just one wants to keep in a positive role, but have there been costs that you've seen of the closure of face-to-face teaching to the children, educationally or social effects? I think we touched on that, but maybe just elaborate anxiety in children. When they come back.
Yeah. So one of the great difficulties of this distant learning, of course, students are with their parents, and that in itself is really important. We had so many reports of families where there's only single children who are not having any interaction with other kids. So socially, emotionally, there's a big impact. There's the fear of the virus. Our social workers have been very busy, at times overly busy. Yeah. And the initial reaction, the initial energy, is very difficult to maintain when people are at home. And so very quickly, educational psychologists started talking about students being rather depressed after a period of time. They were seeing a lot more conversations in that regard. Because it's so hard to be isolated, and we've seen that with the students coming back, even if they have to keep distance, they've really, that social emotional impact, you just see how important it is, and the ability to interact and speak to their friends. It's just made a big difference.
Yeah. And have the children transitioned well from, from the lockdown to coming back to school? Have they been a different side compared to where they normally are compared to last year, say?
In what regard?
In terms of have they been able to interact as well coming back after being isolated, coming back into the school environment? Has there been any difference? Has there been any kind of negative things that you see? Maybe they're less interacting with other kids or anything like that? Any kind of negative from the lockdown? Any damage?
No, we haven't seen damage in that regard. I suppose one of the things that we were worried about in grade 1 and grade 8, which are entry points into the school, is that there almost hadn't been enough time at the beginning of the year for new friendships to be formed by the time that they had to go online and go back home. And yet at grade 1, it's just been so fantastic. You can just see immediately slotted back into it as if they hadn't even been away. So we're looking forward to that grade 8 return as well, where many new students come into the King David environment and then build new friendships and new social circles. And we'll see how that goes as well.
Yeah. And how have the kids complied? I mean, there are a lot of protocols which, actually some of them are quite strict, and I think they need to be strict because you want to prevent infection. The wearing of masks, for instance, and physical distancing. Have they complied well?
Our younger students are far more compliant initially. That they, what I mean by that is everyone's compliant. Older students with your grade 11s and your grade 12s, they find it far more difficult to comply. And it'll always be the first day or two. But once everyone's back in the environment, everyone's doing it. They see their peers are compliant. Part of the requirement is an orientation and understanding why we need to keep to these protocols. It's not just rules for the sake of rules. Then we tend to find then full compliance. The younger students, it's not even an issue. They are, it's like a fish back in water, even with the mask and everything. Students, children are far more resilient and far more flexible and adaptable than we tend to give them the benefit for. They really are. And once you've explained to them with no use of fear or anything like that, why it is and why it's important, Barry, we're hearing across all the Jewish schools, the students are just compliant. Yeah.
No, do the, out of interest, do the young kids have fun masks? Do they, just to kind of break the anxiety of wearing a mask or the tedium of wearing a mask for a long period of time? Does that help at all?
they have different masks. One or two masks have come back that were a bit inappropriate, and we've had to ask them not to wear them again.
Okay.
These designer masks, and sometimes the students don't even understand what's on them. But I think that's the thing of the future, Barry. No, designer masks and name brands, and it's everyone's out there looking for a cool looking mask, and never mind comfortable.
Yeah. This, I suppose one of the, you know, I think in the classroom environment, I think one could be very confident that there's compliance and that the discipline can be maintained. But, would you like to say about, you know, the non-classroom period, you know, this is before school, during breaks, after school, in terms of maintaining physical distancing, maintaining wearing masks, avoiding socialization. Has that been a problem?
Again, at the younger age groups, certainly no problem at all. What we've had to do is have a huge amount of supervision at break time. So even though children are outside the class, the requirements of the regulations are for ongoing supervision, such that there's always this physical distance of 1.5 meters and wearing of the masks. It becomes very difficult for students. So at times they'll, even in a class, they'll want to step out of class for a few moments just to get a mask break. But in the actual break time, in most of our playgrounds, we've got areas marked out where students can be so they keep distance. Or if there aren't areas masked, teachers are supervising to make sure distance is kept. It's fantastic to see. I know that picture went viral at one of our primary schools of children on chairs at a certain distance initially. But what's interesting is the students were making dates with one another. I want to sit opposite you today. They were having play dates in that way. And we've also done a lot of fun things at break time in order to be able to take away the tension of break. And we looked online. There's a lot of models from Denmark and other places where they've had this before, where you can do a lot of fun things at break time with music, with other activities. At high school, we've had to watch in the initial stages that they are fully compliant. And, of course, we then have used a lot of staff as well to assist with that. Older students are no different to adults. You know, when we start talking to someone and you talk, you don't die. You think you're safe. So you move closer. That's how we behave as adults. So what more could we expect from teenagers that are 16, 17, 18 years old? They want to interact with one another, and we want them to be socially interacting. So we have to just oversee that and appeal to their good sense of judgment all the time.
Yeah. Now, are there allowances for, say, mask breaks during a class? Now, if a child does kind of feel, you know, the mask is getting a bit much, they may be feeling a bit claustrophobic, will the teacher allow them to kind of go outside, take the mask down for a bit and come back again?
I've heard different things from different schools, not in Kintyre, from all the Jewish schools, but in all the conversations, we've encouraged that. It's very difficult. We had a teacher in one of our schools who taught for 2 hours straight, and basically fainted, passed out. And it's without taking a mask off for 2 hours. So you can see the difficulty of talking into a mask nonstop for such a period of time. And so if that's how it is for adults, it's the same for students. They're feeling the same things we're feeling. And we've encouraged that if a child needs to take a short break, they should just get up, go outside the door so that they're nowhere near anybody, certainly many meters distance from anyone, and just go have a breathing break.
Yeah. Have the teachers managed to teach with masks on, or do they wear face shields?
So the approach we've taken, essentially the regulations require masks.
Yeah.
And if one is going to use a face shield, it just requires a greater distance. That's really not even in the education sphere gazette. The gazette does say that teachers could have visors. It doesn't give guidance as the distance. But the guidance of distance when wearing a visor, and I'm talking to you, you know this better than me and everyone else in the community, is that for the religious institutions, it says if someone's not going to wear a mask, they need to keep a 2.5 meter distance while wearing a face visor.
Yeah.
So in some situations where that's been necessary, in some situations we have students with hearing difficulties and need to be able to see the mouth movements of a teacher. We've tried to look at the use of the visor, but a greater distance between the teacher and the class when wearing the visor. But when the teacher moves amongst the students, then to put their mask back on.
Yeah, I think that's where, I know, I was asked for advice on that. And, you know, clearly the visor is a second best. The mask is certainly much better. But I do understand the difficulties of teaching for long periods of time with a mask. It does become quite a challenge. And I think we did make the allowance that, that face shields would be okay, as you say, provided that extra distance was maintained, but not when they, as you say, circulating, through the desk, you know, in closer contact with the children.
Right.
Craig, can I ask, are there plans now that non-contact sports, have been legalized, are there plans at all for that to commence with the schools?
Well, so
probably not.
I'll tell you on this one. I mean, it's true that the president made the announcement. We are still awaiting some directions through a gazette or regulations in this regard. But it's certainly the worry around sports is that sports is very sociable in nature,
right.
And so while you may be able to play certain sports and keep distance, it is by nature sociable.
Yeah.
And so, what we've done initially is that for any area that reopens, we first do a risk analysis with our health and safety team and then draw up, standard operating procedures to respond to those risks. No different to how we had to do with every office, every section of the school. And, we're in the process of drawing those up. The Gazette still says no events are allowed to take place. So even if there was, be allowed to be a practice, you're not allowed to have matches or anything like that. That's still not allowed according to the new Gazette that came out yesterday for education. And, one of the things that we're considering is that potentially to wait until after the peak in Gauteng, before we consider bringing sport, because we brought the kids back on a triangular paradox. The one area is education.
Yeah.
The other area is the health and the safety of students, and the other area is social and emotional needs. Now, bringing the kids back means bringing them for what they need to be back for and sending them back home, because that's the safety. Be in school for periods of time under safe environments for what you need to be, and the rest of the time you should be spending home. You shouldn't be out socializing. So we have to question our model as to, by adding all additional extras, how does that fit into our risk analysis on the health level? Is it needed for education? Is it needed for social emotional? Or is that a nice to have at this point in time of where the virus trajectory is? And that's what we have to always consider with every new thing. There's a lot of demand on us. Reintroduce our sports, our music academy, reintroduce other areas like sport, tuck shops. And we're having to think through each area and question, does it respond to our risk model at this point in time?
I'd like to ask our listeners for feedback. You know, how do you, as parents or grandparents, how do you feel about the schools reopening? How do you see electronic teaching, online teaching? How have your children or grandchildren or nephews or nieces or children you look after, how have they fared studying at home? Just to again remind you, our SMS line is 34519. Our Telegram message line is 061-895-1019. Our email is onair@highfm.com. Craig, I think we'll take a short ad break now, and we'll come back and carry on in a short while.
The New Normal Show is proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. Hashtag growing Gaudeng together.
Welcome back. I'm Barry Shube and this is Life in the New Normal. We are talking about the reopening of schools during COVID-19. And my very special guest is Rabbi Craig Kasef, Director of the South African Jewish Board of Education. Craig, you mentioned earlier that the teachers, I think we really need to kind of pat them on the back. They've done a tremendous job in a short period of time, taking on a very great challenge, which they've done very, very successfully. I just want to ask you, just in terms, not so much of the educational side, but even more of the kind of compliance with the protocols. We talked about how the children have complied. Have the teachers, has there been any kind of problems or challenges with teachers kind of keeping up with the protocols, maintaining the protocols?
For as far as I've seen, we've had no problem with the keeping of the protocols. We put out a protocol document. Other than the operation procedures and staff all having to basically sign that they will keep to them, because the environment has to, in order to be reasonable, has to keep to all the protocols. I suppose what we're getting into now is this next stage of the virus, where it's now spreading within Gauteng, and I'm not sure if you're going to share with the listeners is the extent to which it's spreading, and therefore we having to we have staff who want to be there in the classroom, want to teach, but are maybe starting to feel one, or hopefully not more than one, of the various different symptoms. And we're having to say to them, no, you can't come to school. You must stay at home. You can teach online. And because they are so committed to their students, they would love to be in the class with them. And we're having to sometimes the evening before email classes of parents to say, we have a teacher who's just gone in for a test. And so for the next 3 days or until the test comes out, we're going to be teaching online. So it is leading to some interruption of the process, and but adherence to the protocols, we really have that in the school, in all the schools.
Yeah, and you felt fairly pretty confident. I know we've had relatively few, given the size of the schools, relatively few cases where children have had to be self-isolated because they've been in contact, or again the teachers have gone to self-isolation. Has that been a kind of difficulty, or do you feel that certainly up to now, because it's been relatively few, that has been manageable?
At this point in time, it's been manageable. We are starting to see more cases, which is part of the trend which is happening in the community. I saw Hatzola sent a note out to the community just 2 days ago, and of the growing trend in the community. And so we are starting to see teachers who are testing positive, and we are starting to see students who've got family members who've tested positive, and so they've become contacts. And really importantly, they're notifying the school as per the protocols. We're able then to take immediate decisions as to who needs to be in isolation or quarantine, how long that should be for, and how do we keep the environment safe for everybody else. At the moment, it's manageable. And if it remains at this, call it low level of impact, it will continue to be manageable.
Yeah, I think we can reassure, certainly from the kind of overall community point of view, that the safest place for a child is really in the classroom or in the school where all these protocols can be rigorously carried out. I think, again, the infections in children have really been when they're at home from the household transmission, or when they are making contact outside school, social contacts. But the school remains the safest place. I think you would agree.
Yes. At this point in time, at least to the best of my knowledge, we're not aware of a case where the transmission can be traced back to a school environment. Up to now, all the situations where we've been notified have been notified due to a transmission that's taken place outside of the school environment, or somebody has come into contact with somebody outside of the school environment. But I suppose we never know with COVID where on earth somebody picks it up. Maybe you can point to it, but often it could be, as you know, from a surface somewhere, it wasn't even in, you didn't even intend to touch the surface. Who would have known what was on that surface? So we really just can't be judgmental around it. And, but at the moment, it seems to be happening in the environment outside the school, and the school's part of that ecosystem that therefore impacts on all of us.
Yeah, we've had a question that's coming in about a policy of allowing extramural activities by external suppliers reintroduced to the school. Do you have a comment on that?
Is the question whether we should be allowing it or not?
Yeah. Or, you know, has there been kind of thought given to external suppliers coming into the school for any extramural activities, either at the moment or in the future?
Yeah, so this goes back to the sports question where we have been asked by certain external providers, when are we going to start with that? And at this point in time, we are, as I said, really doing the risk analysis and the question of whether we should be bringing more and more people from outside. The new gazette that came out yesterday is very strict on anybody other than staff and students coming into a school premises. And so we would have to do the risk analysis as to how we would manage it, control it. And I think we're coming up for school holidays in about 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And we're waiting to see what would be with the trajectory of the virus and be able to make decisions really based on that. It would be ideal if we were, maybe I've got this wrong, like Western Cape starting already to maybe get over the highest level or the peak of infections. It'll be easier to make those decisions when we know it's on the downward trajectory.
Yeah. I suppose the other, we are talking about going from the children to the adults are teachers, but the other adults involved in the school, of course, are the parents. And I know that there are protocols for picking up children, dropping off children. Again, have parents also been very compliant? That hasn't been a challenge?
No, so from what I've seen, it's been, parents have been just superstars as well in that regard. You know, we've had systems of dropping off, and you can see it outside all the Jewish day schools, drop off systems from cars, don't get out your car, picking up at the end of the day, don't get out your car, so that there's no socializing, teachers bringing the students to the cars and making sure they get there. So that's been really good. I suppose the only real request using this platform would be that without creating panic or without creating any fear, we know we're going into the heart of the infection or the transmission at this point in time in Gauteng. And so social arrangements, dinners, exercising, walking on Shabbos or whenever it may be, really for people to wear their masks, not be in groups, not to have social arrangements. In those environments, it's so difficult to wear masks and to keep to the protocols. And that's like you said, at school at least it can be monitored, it can be kept to. But in a social environment, it really should not be done. Now's the time to stay at home if you're not at school or you're not going to a shops or something like that where you have to do it. Now's not the time for getting out there.
Yeah. Have there been any problems, just on a different tack, with children that do stay at home or have to stay at home, either because their parents don't want them to go to school, or alternatively that they are a risk group, that there's been any kind of stigmatization or teasing?
Not stigmatization of someone who has to stay at home. I think everybody's understanding this.
Yeah.
Barry, people on those few cold days last week, we had a few people who said, well, why? I'm not going to school. I'll stay home. You know, you've got a dual school online. So there's no stigma. There's no stigma attached to staying at home and going to the online learning. I think where the stigma still remains in our community and needs to be broken down is when somebody tests positive or someone's awaiting a test, that there's this great secrecy and how am I going to tell people? And that's because I think our natural instinct is first to judge, and maybe it's judging out of that natural instinct we have to protect ourselves. And so it's self and family protection. So you immediately see the other person as a threat, that they're going to make you sick. And, and one sees that in social media postings. And so the real need over here, and it's interesting, King David has started their quarantine.
Yeah.
Not team. Their quarantine, T-E-A-M. Of members from our soul team and Jewish life and parents who are volunteering, where we making sure that anyone who's positive gets a care package from the school, and we reaching out to families to help with shopping and support, because we can see it's growing in our community.
Yeah.
And we need empathy. We need to daven for people who aren't well. We don't need to judge them. And
sure.
I think that's where the stigma is. And lastly, the gazettes that have come out outlawed discrimination based on testing positive.
On positive, yeah. Thanks, Craig. We're going to have a short ad break and come back just now.
The New Normal Show is proudly brought to you by the Gauteng Provincial Government. Hashtag Growing Gauteng Together.
Welcome back. I'm Barry Shube, and this is Life in the New Normal. We are talking about reopening of schools during COVID-19. And my very special guest is Rabbi Craig Kasef, the director of the South African Jewish Board of Education. Craig, we're now in our last slot. We need to have a little bit of a wrap up, and I'd be grateful if you give us, say, in the next 2 or 3 minutes, what can you say to reassure parents? You know, those whose children, of course, are back in school, and that's the majority. And for the smaller percentage of those who are maybe a bit hesitant about having their kids going back to school.
I think there's a lot to say to those parents. Firstly is we're very aware, acutely aware of the risk. No one's taking this lightly. I think the decision to go back to school was taken with seriousness. It wasn't flippant. It wasn't just, oh yes, now's the time to go back. Now that the 1st of June's arrived, we can all go back to school. You can see that because the schools, all of the Jewish schools are going in a very slow, methodical, manner. It's even irritating some parents as to why can't everybody be back every day and more, students. But even though the regulations now permit one to bring every child back if you can keep the physical space, we see that as irresponsible. And I think for parents to know that we're keeping to the protocols, doing the proper screening, keeping distance between everyone, and really taking this seriously, that's point number one. And if it's taken seriously by everybody on the environment, I mean, the greatest people who've got something to lose, as you mentioned earlier, are not the students. It's the impact on adults in our population. And so teachers all the more so have to be that much more careful. And knowing that students go back into homes with people with pre-existing conditions. So the keeping to protocols, we can certainly assure parents with. The second element is how seriously we take in the situation of when cases are arising within the school environment. Every single case, if it's not an obvious based on our protocols, we reach out to experts to find out if we're making the right decision on what we communicate to parents about a particular case. And so there we're not trying to be maverick in any way whatsoever. And if we do need to close down a class or an environment, we would do that. You know, we don't see that as a risk, knowing that we've got the hybrid model.
Right.
And finally, we are going to keep staggering, and we're not going to just introduce a lot of external elements into the school. Maybe one last point, and that is, as it comes into Gauteng, there'll be hotspots across Gauteng. And the more we know about where the areas of hotspots are, so we've also gone to the effort of making sure we know where all of our staff, our support staff are living, which areas they're coming from. So should there be an increased infection rate in a particular area, we're able to immediately say to people who are living in a particular suburb or may it be Alex or something like that, we're able to say, stop coming to work. It's an area of high infection. So we're also doing all those planning and future planning for if there would be impact on the schools.
Thanks very much, Craig. This has really been a most interesting, a most informative, a most illuminating show. I think you've given me, you've certainly given our listeners, I'm pretty sure, a great deal of confidence in the management of what really is quite a challenge of reopening the schools during COVID. And really, I must thank you most, most sincerely. It has really been a terrific, terrific show. Thanks so much, Rabbi Kesev.
A real pleasure. Thank you.
I also want to thank our listeners. I thank our studio technical team, Craig Guthrie, DJ Flo. Before we sign off, I must again reemphasize what Rabbi Kesev said several times, and I think I've also said once or twice during the show. We are now in a very, very vulnerable period because of where we are in the epidemic curve, because some restrictions, in fact, most restrictions have been lifted. It's not a time that the epidemic's under control. The exact opposite is the case. So we really have to be particularly meticulous about avoiding socializing, keeping to physical distance, wearing masks properly at all times in public places, washing of hands, sanitizing of hands. You must look after, please, your own safety as well as those that you come into contact with. Thank you very much for listening and have a great day.